from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulvedo. Let's go right to Sacramento, where Governor Jerry Brown introduced his proposed state budget yesterday. It includes $1.5 billion deficit, and it does have some cuts. KQED politics and government reporter Marisa Lagos is in Sacramento, and she joins us now. Good morning, Marisa.
Good morning.
Governor Jerry Brown says that this is the most austere budget since 2012. That was a bad budget year. Are things really that bad?
They're not. I mean, we're talking about a tiny fraction of the nearly $30 billion deficit we had in 2012. The governor is saying between $1.5 and $2 billion if the state doesn't kind of change the path it's on.
Well, funny enough, it really seemed that Governor Jerry Brown was almost trying to position himself as the most grown up of recent governors.
Yes, this is not an unusual theme, but it's kind of unusual that he calls out his predecessors by name. Check out what he was saying here when he's talking about how basically it doesn't make sense to spend money that you don't have.
And then have all those problems that we saw under Gray Davis and under Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't want to repeat that. So this is not just some kind of, quirk or legacy or Brownism. This is just the corollary of a progressive tax system.
I love that Brownieism. What he is taking off the table, so to speak, was a $400 million housing fund that he had offered up last year if lawmakers were to agree to some sort of easing of the regulatory process around development. And he's also taking off the table a couple hundred million that would have been used to help improve state office buildings that are old and need help.
But he is asking for new vehicle fees.
That's right. One thing everyone seems to agree in the Capitol is that the roads in California are falling apart. They tried to get a transportation deal done last year. It didn't happen. I do think this is one thing we're going to see really pursued with renewed vigor in the new year. And I think that this may actually happen before the whole budget process wraps up in June. There's already legislation in both houses to increase the gas tax and registration fees a little more than the governor wants in this proposal. But I think it's pretty likely that we'll see at least a try for some sort of increase in revenues to help pay to fixes for roads and bridges.
Finally, Marisa, our eagle-eyed producer Polly Stryker noticed that there was on one of the budget pages biscuits for Sutter. What is that?
Yes. Yeah, so the governor's beloved Welsh corgi passed away over the holidays after a battle with cancer. There's an inscription in this budget that says for Sutter Brown, quote, save some biscuits for a rainy day, and a little paw print. So I guess the governor, is doing this in memory of Sutter, but also appealing to lawmakers and their love of this Welsh corgi in his appeal for fiscal prudence.
Marisa Lagos, thank you so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Let's stay focused on numbers, but apply them to nature. 33 billion. That's how many new gallons of water are in Lake Tahoe since the California storms began last week. 2,000. That's how many people in the rural town of Wilton, outside of Sacramento, have been asked to evacuate because of flooding related to those storms. And 48, that's the number of gates on a weir needed to keep Sacramento from going underwater. Here's KQED science editor Craig Miller.
The weir is one of the main relief valves that keeps the Sacramento River from overtopping levees and flooding the state capital. Designed more than 100 years ago of wooden planks, it's a series of 48 gates that drain water into the Yolo Bypass, a huge expanse of land reserved for that purpose.
It's very effective.
Jeff Mount is a geologist and flood expert at the Public Policy Institute of California. He says it's probably the best strategy we have for protecting the Sacramento region and Delta levees.
Indeed, Sacramento would have been wiped off the map a dozen times in the last 100 years were it not for the fact that we were able to store water on the floodplain.
That's an option that's rapidly disappearing in California as urban sprawl eats up much of the state's remaining floodplain. For the California Report, I'm Craig Miller.
We go now to Washington, D.C., where we are expecting the U.S. Senate to vote tomorrow on an important step in repealing the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. KQED health editor Carrie Feibel joins us to talk about an effort in the Senate to slow down that vote and what it could mean for California. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, John.
So it really seems that there are two important numbers here, 51 and 60. Tell us why.
Well, in the Senate, usually you need 60 votes to pass something, and that's because that vote makes it filibuster-proof. But the Republicans don't have those 60 votes. They only have 52. And so that's why they're using this reconciliation method to sort of chip away and start dismantling Obamacare.
And we should mention that reconciliation is how the Affordable Care Act was passed in the first place.
That's right.
There are some Republican senators who appear to be getting cold feet about actually repealing Obamacare without having anything in place. Tell us about this.
I think a lot of the Republicans realize that if they repeal without anything in place, that could sort of throw the insurance market into a lot of chaos. It could mean that premiums rise sharply, not this year, but next year in 2018. Businesses don't like it when there's uncertainty. So there's a lot of pressure now from some Republicans to say, we can't just repeal this and have nothing.
Now, we've been talking about the politics of this, but the truth is there are people who could be affected, and there is a hefty price tag for California in particular if Obamacare is rolled back.
About 5 million Californians got coverage they didn't have before because of this law, and $20 billion a year are flowing into California. That's all federal dollars paying or helping to pay for that coverage. But I do want to say that the premiums and the contracts in California are set for 2017, and you can still even sign up for coverage until the end of January.
Carrie, thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
That was Carrie Feibel of KQED's Health Desk. Hospitals were a big part of George Walton Lucas Jr.'s early life in Modesto. His mom often got sick, and his dad was tasked with raising three children and running a walnut farm and a small-town office supply store. With his parents notably preoccupied, George turned to car racing. At 18, he was almost killed. But he lived, and he since threw himself into his other hobby, making movies. Almost 60 years later, we learned yesterday that the kid from a Modesto walnut farm will build a $1 billion museum in Los Angeles. Filmmaker George Lucas chose the city's Exposition Park over a competing plan in San Francisco. Dedicated to narrative arts, it will feature fine and popular art, including pieces from his movies. Movies like Star Wars, Indiana Jones, and a coming-of-age story about kids in 1962 Modesto, who spend their time racing cars and listening to rock and roll, a movie called American Graffiti.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Support for the California Report comes from Wharton San Francisco's Executive MBA program, delivering a rigorous academic experience immersed in the unique Bay Area ecosystem and access to a globally connected network. Wharton.upenn.edu. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, January 11th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.